Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, Guilty Feminists. This is Deborah. Before you listen, I just wanted to let you know that Mothers of the Revolution is a new documentary which tells the story of the thousands of women who came together in the 1980s at RAF Greenham Common to take a stand against nuclear proliferation. We will be recording an episode of The Guilty Feminist and screening the whole film and talking to one of the women who was there, who I believe now has a Nobel Prize. You can come for just £5. It's at the Courthouse Hotel in Shoreditch on Wednesday, the 20th of October, and places are strictly limited. It is actually a small house. But you're going to get to see the doc and an episode of The Guilty Feminist and meet a real-life Greenham Common woman. My mother-in-law was one of the Greenham Common women, actually. Go to guiltyfeminist.com or follow the link in the show notes. And we have more recordings back at the regular London home of King's Place on the 25th of October and 4th of November. Get tickets now. At last, we can have intervals again, so you're going to get two episodes for the price of one. Don't miss out. Get those King's Place tickets ASAP before they all go, 25th of October, 4th of November. Finally, we have ads from Acast now. Our model since the very first episode of The Guilty Feminist was to sell tickets to live shows, and that's how we've always paid our guests and our co-hosts. But due to 18 months in a pandemic, and now an uncertain future climbing back towards live, including our Australia New Zealand tour being postponed, we've had to think of another model. So Acast have saved the day. Now, the upside of this is that Acast have turned out to be really wonderful partners. And it means we're going to be able to do new podcasts and expand. If you don't want ads, you can contribute to our Patreon. And as well as getting advanced notice of events, Zoom hangouts with me, book stickers, and other goodies, you also get an ad-free version of the show. Just go to patreon.com/guiltyfeminist to get started. And now on with the podcast. I'm a feminist, but some days lately, I find I'm barely a person, much less a woman.
Oh, Debs.
You're in the middle of some serious dismantling.
I am.
Do you mean tired or just
emotionally disparate.
Tired and trying to kind of get back on the horse of life post-lockdown.
Yeah.
And just generally have come to reckon with some things that I think I established during lockdown that I would never have established while I was charging around the world. Mm. But like finding out you're broken in some ways, then you think, oh, I've got to fix myself. Maybe I should have just lived in absolute ignorance of that. I mean, I'm sure I'm not more broken than anyone else, but I don't have to be anyone else, do I?
No, you don't.
I have to be me.
It's tough, I think.
Mind a freaky Friday at some point, just body swapping with my cat or something.
Lovely.
They seem to have lovely lives, just lying around in sunbeams and chasing the odd butterfly.
Yes, having a wee on a plastic bag if they don't know where their new litter tray is. That's what's happening.
Is that what's happening in your house?
Yeah, every now and again. Let's find a little puddle of wee-wee. I'm a feminist, but I looked at an objectively brilliant photograph of myself today, pulling an actual fucking bus across a fucking car park, and genuinely first thought was, oh, my eyes look wrinkly.
I saw those photos. No one else was seeing wrinkly eyes. They were seeing a woman pulling a bus.
With wrinkly eyes.
No one saw that. You don't have wrinkly eyes, number one. And even if you did, they'd be beautiful. And also, when you're pulling a bus, it really just takes the attention away. You know when Trini and Susanna used to say, if you wear a big collar, it takes attention away from the hips. If you're pulling a big bus, it takes
people
the attention away
look
from
at the edges of your eyes a bit
from
less.
The crow's
lovely.
Feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Maybe that's my strategy. If I go to a wedding and I'm feeling a bit, I'm feeling a bit this and feeling a bit
that. Does anybody need that bus moved?
Yeah. Carry a bus to the wedding and no one will notice that you're in an old frock and feeling a bit rubbish.
Yeah.
They'll just be like, what's with the bus? this is a strategy. You could do a book about this. This is a funny, like, parody of a What Not to Wear book.
Yeah.
If you went to detract from a receding hairline.
Don't worry about
why
horizontal
not carry
stripes.
A duck?
Yeah.
Exactly.
An enormous man, a piggyback. Yeah. There's lots of fabulous ways to distract.
Well, how was the strong... Am I stepping on future I'm a Feminist Butts to talk to ask you questions about the strong woman?
They're all going to be on that theme.
Okay, yeah. I'll wait till the end of them.
Okay.
I'm a feminist, but while scrolling an Instagram Hollywood chain, I realised that what I wanted more than anything was for men to pick me up in the manner of Marilyn Monroe in Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. And also I want the diamonds and I want the pink dress and I want everyone just to adore me. And I also maybe probably want to be Madonna, who was parodying that, but I want to be parodying both of them. But I never will. Men aren't going to pick me up. It's not going to happen.
I don't know that.
I've got a hefty frame. I just think to be fair, it was a lot of men. That number of men could pick me up. One man couldn't pick me up. I'm telling you, it doesn't even need to be a man.
I've seen women.
You've picked
a bus
up. You can pick me up. This is amazing.
I wasn't likening you to a bus, but we can't go from bus pulling chat to saying no one could ever pick me up.
Well, that's how I'm feeling. I'm being honest. I'm being honest about my own feminist butts today.
I can definitely pick you up. I can't dance with you.
Hold on. Could you be my Johnny? If I ran at you, could you do the lift at the end of Dirty Dancing?
Not in a graceful way, but effective. I could effectively lift you from floor to air, yes.
Okay, all right. I think we should work on that. Because that would be a great ending to a big guilty feminist show, is if you, my I'm a feminist butt is wanting to be picked up like at the end of Dirty Dancing, but feeling no one will ever be able to.
I can't dance. I've seen how well you can dance.
I want to lift heavy things in order for people to distract from the lines around my eyes.
Yeah.
We could put those together in one great dance move.
Oh my God. I think we solved that one. I'm a feminist, but during my first ever strongman competition, whilst this incredible lady called Sophie was lifting a giant circus dumbbell really easily, It was so enormous and she picked it up like a feather. I was thinking, oh, wow. I mean, she is ever so strong. But I was also thinking, I wonder if those are her real eyelashes because they're extraordinary.
I bet they were Lola's lashes.
Were so long. There was another amazing Welsh lady called Naomi who was doing this whole competition with the most fabulous nails I've ever seen.
Wow.
There were so many...
You don't just get this in the men's strongmen, do you? You don't get this in the men's. You don't get extra feather eyelashes and nail art.
It's awesome.
I'm a feminist, but the other day I came home to the front door of my flat, the front door of the building that I share with two other flats, and one of my Lola's Lashes magnetic eyelashes was stuck to the keyhole because it's a magnet. So clearly I'd come back from a party, wiped an eye, and the magnetic eyelash had clung like a fridge magnet to this. So everyone else had been having to put their key in the door with my eyelash. I suppose they left it there thinking that'll be Deborah's. I mean, we're not a close flat block, but I bet they know it's me. And
they
there it is. Maybe someone put it there so I'd see it and find it. But
fabulous.
It was, yeah, I was like, this is really embarrassing.
I love that.
They do my magnetic lashes, which I'm addicted to, because it does make a big difference if I'm going out. I am exponentially prettier with fake eyelashes on.
I had fake eyelashes put on me for a job, and I had a message from an old work colleague, a friend, saying, have you had work done? I was like, what? So it made me look so completely different.
I think you told
different.
Me this before, yeah.
Yeah.
I just think they make me look prettier. I mean, I'd sort of be secretly thrilled if someone thought I'd had work done, because that would mean whatever I was doing was working.
Yeah, I didn't need to get the work done, yeah.
Even if it is. I mean, I wouldn't want it to look like fake work, you know, you know, that really obvious. But, you know, I don't know. Is that wrong?
No, I'm in feminist butt zone, so it's fine to admit that it's
so
a compliment.
Fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it.
I am a feminist butt. I wear my magnetic eyelashes too often, probably.
You wear them on your face and you wear them on your door.
A bit addicted to them. But yeah, they just, I can literally pop them on the fridge when I come in so that they're there in the morning for me to take out. And I mean, it's absurd. I'm absurd.
Oh, I love it. I think it's very funny.
Absurd. Barely a person, much less a woman.
Own it.
Because a woman's better than a person.
Yeah.
That's not right, is it? You can't say that.
Well, I don't know. I'm a feminist, but it wasn't till a week after doing this strongman competition that a better feminist had to say to me, it's really weird that even though you did an all-women competition that day, you keep calling it a strongman competition. And but I don't know enough about the world or the sport, but I do believe the sport maybe is called strongman.
Oh.
Only all women doing it. But I mean, they were absolutely right, because you can't stand for that, can you? Not when it was, I think, about 15 women and no men at all doing this.
And it's still
competition
called Strongman.
That day. Yeah.
Come on.
Call it Strong Women.
Bloody
strong
hell.
People. Strong people, women's category.
That's outrageous.
Yeah.
Well,
it was
outrageous. We should campaign to change that name.
Well, because I'm going to keep, I loved it. And to answer the question you began asking earlier, I had the funnest day, probably in the top 10 funnest days of my life. And I've tried all the drugs. I've been to theme parks. I've done Laser Quest. I've done escape rooms. And it was funner than those things, nearly than some of them. And it was, I got more nervous than I've ever been before any gig. I dropped a very heavy natural stone upon my own head.
Oh my God.
And was fine.
Oh my God.
I just sort of foolishly thought, I'll just rest this here. And sort of gently begun to rest it on my head until the crowd started screaming, fuck! Oh, fuck, no! And then luckily sort of just quickly popped it down again. And then
oh my God.
I just met the most amazing people, and it was so ridiculous. It was ridiculous and absurd and joyful and inspiring and humbling and brilliant.
And we can see all of the videos on your Instagram.
Yeah, I put them in my story highlights.
Oh, great. So look in the story,
of
look
me
in the
and
story
other women
highlights.
In a post today.
It was so impressive to see. I was so proud of you. And just this sort of joyful participation of all these women.
Yeah. And everyone, in the people of Deptford
goes.
Coming out and having a bellow at us all. And that last event, pulling a bus around a park. It was really well run. It's an amazing little independent gym called Commando Temple in Deptford, and they're really, really up for getting more women involved in it. It's obviously a very male-dominated sport.
So if you're in or near Deptford, get involved and join these women.
You can email that. You can find them on Facebook, and you don't need to be nervous about not feeling welcome there. They will have someone who can guide you around it and take you from absolute zero experience, and it's just a complete laugh. if you think you might be into the sort of moving your body that's, you know, not really cardio at all, it's really fun throwing, you know, picking things up and putting things down and waddling around with them. I should make it sound better than that. It is so fun. If you think you might fancy pulling a bar short, flipping a tire is so fun. It's so cathartic.
How many women did it take to pull that bus?
Every single woman there pulled that bus on their own, but in different ways.
Yeah, you all. If
there were two categories,
were you able to move it?
I came second in that event, Debs, out of everyone.
Oh my god, second in bus pulling! You can definitely lift me up.
I can lift you up. I can deadlift much, much more than you. I can definitely lift you up. I promise.
This is going to be so exciting.
But yes, there were women. There were women that made it. Those are the noises that will be happening during the dance.
I'll be wearing the baby dress from, not a baby dress, the dress that baby wore in Dirty Dancing.
You'll be wearing a baby grow, and I will be wearing.
Horizontal stripes to
horizontal
distract,
stripes.
As well as pulling a bus.
Yes.
From a variety of bedrooms and kitchens via Zoom, The Spontaneity Shop presents The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Frances White, guest co-host Jessica Foster-Kew, and our very special guests, Eleanor Soper, Ashley and Fatima, talking about youth. Woo! This is The Guilty Feminist, the podcast in which we explore our noble goals as 21st century feminists and our hypocrisies and insecurities which undermine them. I'm Deborah Frances White. With me is Jessica Foster-Key, and we're talking about youth. What do you know about youth, Jessica Foster-Key?
What don't I know about youth?
I've had one. You have one. Yes, you have one. I feel certainly still like about, I reckon I'm about 24 in my head, in my heart.
I did feel like that until after the pandemic, and now I feel very old. I feel like I think the last 18 months actually for me took 18 years.
Wow.
And and now I am tired even just as the amount of fun I've had starting this conversation with you means I'm ready for bed.
Yes, I know that feeling. I know that feeling. What used to be just a normal week, which was going out every single night and, you know, doing gigs and then filling all the days and rushing here and rushing there, I don't believe I'll ever be able to do again what I was doing up until the minute the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And then I've just gone, oh no. But young people can do these things. And I've recently learnt at another Guilty Feminist recording the word yeet. Do you know what yeet means?
No, you'll have to tell me what
it
yeet means. Look at all these young people laughing because they know. Was it to throw?
To throw. So,
do you mean to sort of to throw away or
I'm going to
take a ball and yeet it for a dog?
I'm going to yeet this phone at you. Yeet it here. Could you say yeet it here, young people who are on the call? Don't ever mute yourselves. Don't mute yourselves on The Guilty Feminist because we want your chuckles.
You don't say that.
You wouldn't say yeet it here. So how would you use it?
It'd be more like you chuck something and you shout yeet as it sails through the air.
Yeet.
It's a sound effect. Oh, okay.
Oh, I like that.
In a very real way, misunderstood what yeet meant until this very second. So I had it right, a bit like, you know, when you're speaking a foreign language and you learn a word and you think you know what that word means, but really in the context, you're not using it correctly.
No. Have you been talking to young people and saying, please may you yeet me the salt?
Pretty much.
Lovely,
yeah, don't do that.
So it turns out I'm not as down with youthful people as I thought I was, even from the other day learning the yeet word. Have you got any young people? It's like, does your little boy use any slang that you think he's of the youth? He's a bit too small maybe for that.
Oh no, he's not too small, Deborah. He's growing up in Catford. He calls me bruv. He calls me man. He calls me dude.
Wow.
All of that. Okay. All of that slang, yeah.
So he's down with the kids.
Yes, he is. He's down with the actual literal kids, yeah.
Do Gen Z irritate you in any way? And I'm a present company accepted, of course. And did Gen Z give you hope, Jess?
Yes, lots of hope. very wise, very active, very confident,
mm-hmm.
Very progressive, very, I mean, the only bit I think is disappointing is there seems to be a lot of sobriety and sensibility, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I hope some mistakes are being made to get learned from. I feel like the only people I know occasionally getting themselves in a right old pickle, in good and bad ways, are in their 30s and 40s now.
It's so true. The whole world is one great big Benjamin Button.
Yeah, it is.
Throbbing Benjamin Button.
They're going to really resent us when we've all played as hard as we worked and need lots and lots of care from probably a relatively young age compared to them. Also, I hope they know they're all going to live till they're about 300 if they carry on like that.
Yeah. Also, in some ways, this is a bit in the I'm a feminist butt territory. Gen Z aren't very serious at times. And I feel it's our fault because we're leaving them a serious world.
Yes.
So they're not just ever kind of lolling around in a park, staring at the sky, going, oh, I wonder if he'll text me back. I mean, I'm sure some of them are somewhere, but the visible ones are a lot of the time very serious. And sometimes they're a bit angry with jokes.
Happens, yeah.
Yeah, and for we Gen Xers, are you Gen X or you're millennial, aren't you?
I'm millennial, thank you. Geriatric, but millennial.
Are you representing the millennials?
Thank you, Elena.
Are you a geriatric millennial, Jess? You're not?
I am, I think. What is it called? There's a lovely podcast by Gareth Gwynne and Elsit. I can't say her name properly. She's a Welsh comedian who's brilliant, and they've got a podcast called Zenelial. I think that's how you say it. It's a very small window of millennials that I'm in that was born between, I think, something like, I was born in 83, basically. So it's around those years. A very specific type of millennial.
So it's a sort of XY cusper. You're a cusper. Yeah. So you're an early adopter millennial.
Mm.
First of the breed. Yeah. So sometimes, this is my hypocrisies and insecurities which undermine them, I find young millennials and Gen Zs aren't very good with jokes, but I also think we've left them quite a serious world. We've put them in it and they're like, we've got to fix everything right now. All your social constructs are fucked, and also look at this environment. And they've sort of become the mums. So they're kind of coming in going, get your feet off this planet.
To be honest, I think that pattern's been going on for a while though, because I've got boomer parents, and compared to them, I'm serious. They're the most hedonistic people I've ever met. Couldn't give a shit. Easy life. Such an easy life. I'm happy to say it. They've been drunk since they were 18, my parents. They're happy as clams. At least we've had to like save up for stuff for ourselves.
No, that's true.
And pay for our educations. And not say it's good that we've had to pay for university educations, etc. But all of that. It's not just these two sets of generational categories where it's got more serious. I think that's been a longer running pattern.
I think that's a really good insight, actually. Yeah, because we couldn't buy a house for £7.50.
No.
On a 2-year mortgage and an entry-level job and go, I've bought my house now.
In Islington.
Islington. It's true. Someone said to me recently as well, the baby boomers by definition missed the Second World War, but then dated before AIDS. So they dated with no, you know, like with abandon in a way.
Yeah.
There wasn't the sort of fears coming along there.
Dated with abandon, I think, Debs.
Yeah.
But then I had a boomer parent who gave me terrible sex advice.
What was the terrible sex advice?
Well, it was half brilliant. She said, whatever you do, the first time you have sex, that's the worst sex you'll ever have, which I think is one of the most amazing bits of advice ever. She said, don't let it put you off. It only gets better. But then sadly she said, but whatever you do, don't ever use a condom, it ruins it.
She did not.
Yeah.
She did not.
And that was very much post-AIDS,
Wow. I should clarify before anyone emails in, I think a lot of boomers did date throughout AIDS as well. And that was that was a sort of terrifying and tragic and very, a time wrapped with, not that people can't get AIDS now, but we know that obviously the situation has changed. So if you are a boomer, and also lots of boomers were not in a position to buy a house, and lots of boomers have had their own struggles and were raised.
Hashtag not all boomers.
Yeah. Well, some boomers were raised on rations, you know, and had a really crappy time. So if you are a boomer, and a lot of boomers as well fought hard for feminism. So if you are a boomer, we love you too. But today we are focused. We should do a boomer rep. We should invite some boomers on and do a boomer rep. But today we are focused very, very clearly on these young people. Our first guest today is the programmes coordinator for YWCA Scotland, the Young Women's Movement, and one of the facilitators of the Orpheus Girls Project. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
It was Fatima that came up with the name, and I believe it's Ur.
Ur. Okay. Of the Orpheus Girls Project. Please welcome Eleanor Sopa. Woo!
Hi, everyone.
She is joined by two high school students from Dundee who are founding members of the Orpheus Girls Project. Please welcome Ashley and Fatima.
Woo!
So, Eleanor, let's go to you first. You're the coordinator for the YWCA Scotland. What does YWCA stand for?
It stands for the Young Women's Christian Association, but that is the historical name of the organisation, but we keep it because that's where our roots are. So we're more on the young women's movement side now.
So it's like the famous Village People song, YMCA.
It is.
So it's where young people could go. And originally it was named because it was a Christian organisation, but now it has evolved. But it's very famous, the YMCA, and therefore the YWCA. So let's not go changing it now after there's a perfectly good famous disco number about it.
It is.
It would seem churlish.
The amount of people that refer to us as YMCA.
Oh.
Still, we think we should come up with our own song try and get that back. But World YWCA is a very big movement globally. So the YWCAs deserve the same recognition and representation.
So there's the Young Women's Movement. That's the part that you're running for the YWCA. And could you tell us a little bit about the Young Women's Movement and what it's doing in terms of feminism for young people?
Yes. So we are based in Scotland. We have two kind of parts of our work. We have our community centre in Glasgow, where we work with women of all ages. And our work is not really about crisis intervention, but those kind of next steps when it comes to confidence building and taking the next step in people's lives and empowering them. And then our national work, which is for young women across Scotland, we run programmes. We have one programme that we run ourselves, and then we run programmes like this one in partnership with other organisations. So for this programme in particular, we're with Dundee City Council and NSPCC Scotland. And we also do annual research about the status of young women in Scotland and a lot of digital campaigning as well. So kind of a all-round campaigning, research and programmes charity.
So this is a great and active thing to be doing in Scotland. And I know whenever we go to Scotland, it seems so much more progressive. And I'm sure there are ways in which you feel that it isn't, or, you know, struggles that you have. But there is a sort of, I don't know, there's something going on there over the border that I feel like is a sort of fire. And it may be in response to British occupation, honestly, that may be where its origins lie. But do you think there's more of a sort of liberal, progressive, fiery spark?
Yeah, I think there is. And I think, you know, the feminist sector in Scotland is so small. And, you know, we're all sharing funding and everything between kind of a small amount of organisations that are kind of working on women's rights, that we're really close knit. And there's a really like sense of community there where, you know, for example, because there's not a lot of people working there, if you know that you've got a particular expertise on one thing and you want to do a project and you know another organisation could bring in some of their expertise as well, then there is that kind of want to go in and do that joined up working, which I think is really important. And I think, you know, the sisterhood is alive and well. I mean, and that is not to say that we don't have problems in Scotland. Of course we do. But I think there's a lot about the culture that, you know, we want to see ourselves as the kind of like progressive, you know, better, more equal society, you know, to England, perhaps, to the rest of the UK, perhaps, but also in the world. We like to see ourselves as brave and world leading. And so when things come up, such as, for example, the period poverty bill that passed into law at the end of last year, you know, that is a world-leading piece of legislation. And I think we like to be proud of ourselves, and that means that we push it. And then when it eventually comes in force in England, which I'm sure it will, because that's what happens in the rest of the UK, Scotland does something and then it's swiftly followed up. Carrier bag charges, smoking ban, just to drop a couple of there. So I'm sure period products will come next for you as well.
We are hungry for your scraps.
Yeah, we'll have them.
I absolutely have
sloppy seconds on all your ideas.
Absolutely. No
problem. I didn't realise you did the old carrier bags first. I thought that was Wales.
I think it was us.
Oh, great.
Someone's going to email in now.
Yeah. I mean, it was probably Scotland and Wales first, and then...
It definitely wasn't England, and we can all celebrate that.
It's absolutely true. I remember the smoking ban, though. Do you remember going up to the Edinburgh Festival and
smoking every day? Yes, delicious.
And
I miss that.
And do you remember the first time you had to go outside on the Brooks Bar fire escape to have a cigarette?
Yeah.
And how weird it was to be sort of marshalled outside. And now I don't smoke, but I have smoked at the Edinburgh Festival.
Mm.
And
nobody who smokes at the Edinburgh Festival smokes the rest of their life.
Well, do you know what, Jess? Once I said to a doctor, she said, "Do you smoke?" And I said, "Well, I've just come back from the Edinburgh Festival. And if I do stand-up comedy there, it's after a gig, I like a cigarette." And she went, "Oh my God, if you do stand-up comedy, of course you need to smoke. It's so stressful." She said, "Oh, I would definitely." She said, "Oh, I gave up smoking. It's so lovely. I really miss it." And sort of wanted me to...
Was
sort of like, "Tell me about how that cigarette was after that gig." It was so funny. Anyway, I haven't smoked for years. Just...
Yeah.
Young people listening, that was an unwise. I'm not worried about setting a bad example. I'm worried about the Gen Z's telling me off. As young people listening,
I have smoked for years, but I have given up again now. Don't worry, it's been a year.
Yes, well done. The Gen Z's are applauding, and let's bring
this
them in.
This time, I gave up because my 5-year-old at the time, 4-year-old, said to me, "I heard that the summer's over. You're going to stop doing the old adult blowing." I didn't know the name for it. And that sounded much worse than smoking cigarettes. And I thought, I've got to stop, because what if he's about to go to school, and what if he says to people, "My mum does adult blowing in the garden." Oh, dear. Sorry, you were about to introduce these lovely people.
I was. Yeah, no, actually, I won't tell that story.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
Fatima and Ashley, you're both at school and you have founded the Ur Fierce Girls Project. Could you please tell us what it is? Fatima, you came up with a name, Eleanor said. How did you come up with this name?
Yeah, well, I actually took the inspiration from, have you heard of the Urwally Bucket Trail?
Yeah.
It's an integral part of Scotland and Scottish culture. So
huge
I took
deal.
That And I took the fact that all of us young women in the campaign are all pretty fierce, pretty amazing. So I combined the two and I got Ur Fierce Girls.
So what was that? Can you tell us about the, what is the original one? The Ur?
The Ur Willy.
It's a character, like a, or you'll have to explain.
Like, it was like a comic book character.
Yeah.
Oh, so Ur like our.
Yes.
Yeah.
I see. So it's the Ur Fierce Girls. Ashley, what do Ur Fierce Girls stand for?
We kind of stand for solidarity with females and girls and kind of standing up for sexual harassment and abuse in young girls and building the education around it for them.
That's really exciting. What is it that you do?
So we're trying to bring more of that into education and into schools to make teachers more aware of what could be happening with relationships at a young age, and to try and bring more education for the teachers so that they can have healthy conversations with young girls to make sure that they know what's going on and what could happen to them so it doesn't.
So how does that play out, Fatima? Are you creating content or methods for people to talk about these things?
Yeah, so we've developed a range of toolkits. We've got one aimed at young people in schools and other settings. We've got one for professionals and one for parents and carers.
Wonderful. Jess, did you have a question?
I wanted to know whether this was part of or is in any way running alongside the sort of brilliant new changes that have come into primary school relationships education, or is that different in England than in Scotland? But like, as of this September, primary school kids are getting taught a much broader curriculum about relationships. And it's not, I think there was a bit of backlash and it was all in the press because it sounded like it was sex education, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not, it's relationship education. And I think especially what very young primary school kids are being taught is exactly like it sounds like your brief is. And then in terms of like teaching all the different things a relationship can look like and what a healthy relationship is. And does it start at primary school? Is it anything to do with that? Or is it like on top of that and in addition to that?
So I think, yeah, it'd be helpful to talk about how it started. So in 2018, YWCA Scotland, one of the programmes called Young Women Lead, on which I was a participant and I now run that programme, released a report looking at sexual harassment in Scottish schools. So what was happening? How is it being handled? What could be done better? And then in that same year, the NSPCC in the UK released a report looking at peer-to-peer sexual abuse based on calls that were coming into Childline. And so back then, Dr. Patricia Kupiec, who's the CEO of YWCA Scotland, and Carla Mulseed, who's the Scottish Campaigns Manager at NSPCC Scotland, decided that this could be a really good opportunity to do some joint-up working, looking at healthy relationships in schools in Scotland and ways that we could combat this. And then a number of things happened, maternity leaves, pandemic, you know, the usual. And we kicked off this programme and linked up with Dundee City Council to kind of develop it, and did this with no funding for it. We just decided to get on with it in the middle of a pandemic. And so it sits separately from kind of PSE in terms of what's being done at a governmental level. Scotland did a PSE review a few years ago, around the same time that these reports were coming out. And so what we're doing now is we've got what we've got in Dundee and schools are now back. So we're going to be kind of rolling it out to every school in Dundee, getting feedback on how it is working, and then hopefully look to go nationwide and start bringing more young people onto the project as well.
Brilliant.
It's amazing. But how do you get secondary school students like Ashley and Fatima to kind of get involved in it, to then create the content, like come up with the name? Like, how does that happen? Because I think when I was a teenager, if anything like this had sort of happened, it would have been done all by adults and I certainly wouldn't have had a say in it. It would have been imposed upon us.
We've discussed this, Deborah. They're a lot more serious now.
This is what I was
sensible,
just about to say.
And we rightly weren't allowed anything, anywhere near anything so important. But now they look very... I know they're not very wrinkly, but they're basically more wise than us, Debs.
Like, yes, Yoda's
very
small.
Surprisingly not difficult.
But much wiser. Yoda's small but wise.
Yeah.
I mean, neither of you do look in any way diminutive. I mean, you look, Fatima, you look very stylish in your earrings. And Ashley, I am a feminist, but the main question I've got for you is what light are you using?
Yeah, what lipstick is that? Yeah.
In the lighting, you look like you're on a professional photo shoot. It's like a green hazy light, like a golden light that makes it look like it's magic hour. And you're just sort of there with your ringlets.
I'm in my dad's kitchen. He's got really nice light on. And I got this lipstick in a Christmas stocking.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
Is that a special
And where did
light,
you get
though?
Your earrings from, Fatima, please? They're lovely.
The joys of Instagram.
Oh, lovely. Absolutely Again, lovely.
Incredible. So much more fashionable.
Anyway, sorry, back to the very serious.
Sorry. Yeah, how did you get involved to write this curriculum or, you know, engage with this?
I saw it on Twitter. It was something that my school shared, that they were looking for more people. So I was sitting with my friend in maths, bored out of our skulls. And this was just something I really wanted to be a part of. So I did their application and signed up and I got accepted. And when I told you I cried when I got accepted, that would not be a lie. And I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yay.
And then what was that experience like? Like you got accepted and then what happened? Was there a gathering of young people?
No, it was on a Teams call. The first time I ever met
Fatima was it during COVID?
Was last week. For 30 seconds at her high school when I was on a different meeting.
Oh, wow.
Didn't even mean to see her.
So they were asking young people, again, this is just such a new thing for me, that they're consulting the people it matters to who actually would know. Fatima, how did you hear about it?
I'm not going to lie, I was the exact same. I was scrolling through Twitter and my school had retweeted it and I thought, oh my God, this is perfect. So I applied immediately and yeah. Ever since, I've loved it.
Great. And so this has all been done like on Teams calls and stuff where you've come up with the ideas around it, the name, how it might best be put together. Can you give us an insight into some of the material in the pack? So any insight into what we might learn if we got this pack?
Yeah. So it's mainly conversation starters and they're adapted differently based on the audience they're intended for. But it's for like professionals and families to have conversations with young people to make sure that they know what a healthy relationship looks like and what they should avoid in a relationship, but also what young people should say to each other to make sure that their friends are okay. Because sometimes you don't feel comfortable going to an adult, but speaking to one of your best friends could really help.
So, for example, what would be a conversation starter about a good relationship? Because I think I might need this.
Well, you've said that just as your husband's left the room, Deb.
That's true. No, but I mean, just in general, broader, you know, to broader things, life lessons. I think, I don't know, yeah. I think...
We're going to turn this into therapy where we, both Debs and I, find out how to avoid bad relations.
Yeah, just like what kind of things should we be looking for in life? You know, I think the only reason I ask this is because I've been doing some therapy lately and I've discovered I'm essentially broken. So I would love some...
Sorry for laughing.
Awesome. And I just, everything was messed up about like that era for me of young peopleness. And like when I was young and I didn't learn these things. So what's a conversation starter and what might you guide people to?
So it's kind of goes along the lines of ask how they're feeling. This is one from the professional's perspective. So ask young girls how they're feeling at that time. And ask about their friends and their relationships with others and how they feel about those relationships and just kind of ease them into it and let them know that they're somebody that they can speak to and it's not scary and it's not, there's no pressure on them. So it's things like creating positive atmosphere and make sure that they're in a space where they're able to speak freely without being overheard by people they don't want to speak to. So it's nothing specific like say these words, because if you said that, it would just be scripted and it wouldn't feel comfortable or natural. Whereas it just gives tips on how to make the space safe and what not to say.
Interesting. Really interesting. Is there anything that you would like listeners of The Guilty Feminist to know about this, Fatima? Either so that they can start to do some of this stuff themselves, or maybe they're in Scotland and they can access this. Can people outside Scotland access it or only in Scotland?
Yeah, anyone could access it from the YWCA website. I would highly recommend going and checking it out. I think it's really important because it can often be really scary to like open up and start these conversations. But it's definitely something that needs to happen because everyone, you know, deserves to feel safe in a relationship and everyone deserves to feel happy and comfortable.
Yeah, that is certainly true. Is there anything else you'd like us to know about it? Eleanor, is there anything you came to say that you didn't get to say?
No, because I've been on a train all day and I don't even know what year it is.
It's much more tiring than it used to be, isn't it? The old life. Yeah.
Okay, we'll edit that out.
I'm sure my boss will be like, why didn't you say this?
No, we'll edit it out. She'll never know.
Mention Dundee City Council. Check. NSPCC Scotland. Check. So that was my to-do list.
You've done that. We'll edit that out. Tom, edit that out.
Lovely. I love a short to-do list.
Ashley,
I do.
Is there anything you came to say that you didn't get to say?
Just that, like, we understand that the conversations might not just become uncomfortable for the young girl. It could be uncomfortable for the adult too, because I know from experience that a lot of older people are not the most emotionally available at times, but that doesn't mean that we don't deserve a calm conversation. You know, a conversation like this can be good for both parties, and it's just because you're uncomfortable doesn't mean it shouldn't happen.
That's my whole thing at the moment, is get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Yeah,
it's a good mantra.
Fatima, is there anything you came to say that you didn't get to say?
No, just that, you know, I would encourage everyone to use the toolkits, and I think that everyone deserves to feel happy in a relationship, and I think that women, you know, need to see their worth and see their potential and see that they are so much more than like a toxic relationship.
I second that.
Third.
I third that. I fourth. I go in slow. Fourth.
I fifth it. I have to fifth it because there's nothing else left.
Yes.
But I am so encouraged that at your age, you would be sitting there thinking, I know how not to get into a toxic relationship. And I would be able to guide my friends if I was worried they were in a toxic relationship.
I was going to say, is there toolkits you could use if you've got a friend who you're quite sure is in one?
I'm going to download this kit because I think everybody needs it.
As you should.
Yeah. Or everybody knows someone who does, 100%.
And yes, the good news is,
sadly,
is that we have got a little bit of funding now to take it forward over the next 3 years. So it's going to go big. But Fatima and Ashley and Elena and Tammy and Megan and Olivia and Katie are the pioneers of this.
Yes.
And I also have to mention Sarah Anderson from Dundee City Council, who has just been amazing.
Excellent.
I see Gloria.
Ashley punching the air at the sound of funding, which is...
We love really... some money in here, you know?
We love it. Maybe we can get t-shirts. Maybe we can meet in person. The possibilities are endless.
It would be a good start.
Do you like donations or do you only get funding from official bodies?
We like donations.
You enjoy a donation? You enjoy a donation? Where can people donate?
ywcascotland.org/donate.
And is this where we can download the pack as well at the YWCA Scotland?
Yes, so ywcascotland.org. If you go into the Our Work tab, you'll see the Oor Fierce Girls. You can download the toolkits there.
Magic.
And you can also donate to the NSPCC Scotland. And I don't think Dundee City Council take donations.
They shouldn't, really, should they? I think that is accurate.
I'm sure we should do a whole other podcast episode about budgeting for local authorities.
Yeah, funding local councils.
So if you would like to make a donation to help this work go further, absolutely great. In the meantime, if you are a young person or know a young person, or you yourself just think, toxic relationships, consent, things like that, I'm never sure about these things in the way that I'd like to be, then download this kit, because it's been made with and for young people in mind. But it sounds like part of our theme, the young people could also be teaching the old people. So Ashley and Fatima and Eleanor, thank you so much for coming on The Guilty Feminist.
Woo! Thank you for having us.
Jessica Foster-Kew, it's been absolutely amazing to see you. Do you have anything to plug?
I tell you what, I'd like to plug these things. I've got a podcast called Hoovering. I've got a bunch of new material gigs coming up in the autumn previews, but I mean, it'll be new material. It's the very seedlings of a new show. But also my dear, brilliant and frankly, genius, hilarious friend Bridget Christie is going on tour in a few weeks.
Oh, yeah.
With a new show, I think called Who Am I? And it's, I had I've seen it, a preview of it, and it's extraordinary, and it's about the menopause, and I've never heard it spoken about in such a Ooh. Funny, refreshing, I'd go so far as to say empowering way. And as ever, because it's Bridget, very silly, joyfully silly, nothing earnest about it.
Everyone's got to go and see that. Menopause yeah. show from Bridget Christie coming to a yes, town near
bloody please.
You. Check out your local theatre or club and see if Bridget's coming there, or just go on Bridget's website and see where she's yeah. coming and go there. That's probably better.
Do it.
Jess Foster Kew, it's been an absolute joy and a pleasure to have you and
Thanks for having
the,
me.
All the buses that you pulled.
Thank you.
You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Frances White, guest co-host Jessica Foster Kew, and our very special guests, Eleanor Soper, Ashley, and Fatima. The producer was Tom Solitsky for The Spontaneity Shop. Thanks to Rachel Croftman, Gina DC, and everyone who made this episode happen, as well as all of you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit guiltyfeminist.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe.
I've just put the link in the chat in case Ashley or Fatima want to read out the example.
Oh, I
yeah,
see.
Yeah, I quickly go on because I couldn't remember them off the top of my head.
I know.
Okay, I've disappeared now because I'm looking. Can you still see me? Hold on. I can't see you anymore. I'm just going to call Tom. Tom, sorry, I've lost them because I was trying to open a materials doc that they had up and now I've lost everything.
This wouldn't happen to her. Gen Z person.
I'm a feminist, but I need my husband to sort out Zoom.
That's going to be the outtake right there. That's going to be the blooper at the end. God damn it. The Guilty Feminist is provided exclusively from Acast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.